at Pentecost. And again, this chapter is used so much to teach one thing that I think perhaps we better read it a little more carefully this morning and see if there's not another lesson in Acts 2 that we should gain. In verse 1 it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." In verse 4 it says, "They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You're familiar with most of these. In verse 7, "The people who listened were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" They spoke in tongues, these disciples and apostles, and everyone was amazed to hear this. And then in verse 12, speaking of the listeners, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine." Now, so far, what has happened? Has there been any conversions, any repentance, any belief, any turning to the Lord by these people? No. And yet, standing up in front of them were at least a dozen men who were speaking in tongues. Now, I know today that there is one major group of Christians who preach and teach that the only thing you have to do is speak in tongues, and that's it, that's the end, that's all they worry about. And yet, here we find at this amazing thing, with cloven tongues of fire on them. And what happened? They were amazed or they doubted. No conversions, no repentance, no one turning to Christ, no one turning the Word, until what? Until Peter stood up in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and what? He said, "Brother, sister, this is what the prophet Joel spoke of." And he preached a sermon from the Word of God, and then what do we find happened? Now, he went ahead and he preached, apparently for quite a while, maybe as long as 15 or 20 minutes. And he says in verse 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Why? Because of what the prophets had said. Peter preached a sermon. Now when they heard this, heard what? Heard the sermon. Not the speaking in tongues, heard the sermon. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many, as the Lord our God shall call." In other words, Peter laid out the story of the Bible to Israel, and that Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah, had come, and when they heard that, then they were converted, repented, and were baptized. It goes on and says in verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort." He kept right on doing what? Preaching the Word of God to these people. Testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In a careful reading of this chapter, it appears that no one was converted by the hearing of the speaking in tongues. They were amazed, confused, and some of them thought these fellows were drunk and they mocked them. But when Peter got up and preached the Word of God, 3,000 people came up, repented, and were baptized, and were added unto the church. In other words, I'm not downgrading the idea of the speaking in tongues. It obviously is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Paul makes this very plain. But remember, what converts people? The preaching of the Word. And let's turn over to the book of Romans, because Paul, who at this time, remember, was in opposition to the church, here in the book of Acts, or the first part of the book of Acts, he was in opposition to the church, so he saw the other side. He was the persecutor. He saw the persecution, and he would have known in quite a bit of detail what happened in the early church, because that was his job. His eye was on the church. So he knew what was happening in the church. All right, turn over to Romans 10. And Paul starts out this way in verse 13 of Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's made it clear that this can be Jew or Gentile, or as the original Greek word means Judean or Greek, or Judean or Hellen. Doesn't make any difference who they are. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he asks this question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Paul says, well, now, if they'll call on him, they'll be saved. But how in the world are they going to call on him unless some preacher comes and preaches the word? And how shall they preach except they be sent? The obvious answer to this, of course, is that the preacher has to be sent by God Almighty to preach the word, and then they'll be saved. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It doesn't say how beautiful are them that preach the gospel of war and bring terrible news of what the enemy is doing at all, does it? You see, I want to make two things very clear this morning for my good friends who believe the word in the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of the fact that tongues is a gift of the Spirit, it obviously is not the source of conversion for the people who hear it. The source of conversion is the Word of God, the thing that will turn a person or a family or a community or a nation is the Word as preached by preachers. In the very beginning of the church at Pentecost, Peter had to preach a sermon to convert the people. And Paul says here, how will they call on the name of the Lord unless they hear from a preacher who is sent by God who preaches good tidings of good things? And brother, sister, that good tidings is the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the terrible things that exist in the world today, except as we preach that they will be destroyed as the kingdom is set up, because the kingdom is the good news. And he sums it up by saying, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And would to God we could get this in the minds and the hearts of the ministers in this nation who think they have to do either some spectacular thing in order to convert people, or they have to tell them the danger that America is in to convert people, and yet the Bible says people are converted and turned and saved to the word of God by the Word of God, by preaching. All right, let's go back to Acts 2, because I want to show you the comparison here before I get away from Romans 10. In Romans 10, we read in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how about that? Peter also said that in his sermon in Acts 2, in verse 21. And he's quoting prophecy. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then what did he do? He went right on and finished his sermon preaching the word of God, which we see resulted in the conversion on that one day of 3,000 souls. All right, let's go back to Acts 8 again, because this again is another incident as we go on in Acts 8 of some more things that happened in this time of great persecution. We read in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing, seeing the miracles which he did. And of course, again, I have to make it plain, I'm not downgrading the miracles which are to follow. You know that the miracles are to follow the preaching of the word. The healing of the sick follows the word. Some of our good Christian people, the churchgoers today, wonder why they have no miracles in their church. In fact, there are ministries founded on the idea that if we'll go out and have miracles, people will come in and be converted. But that's putting the cart before the horse. The word has to be preached first, And then the miracles follow, and the scripture makes that plain. And of course, these did follow Philip. And then in verse 12 it says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God." What was Philip preaching? Preaching the kingdom of God. And the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Philip went down there and preached, apparently, to most of the people of a city. And it appears that, to some extent, at least the way the implication is here, that the whole city believed, or a good share of the entire city. All right, now let's turn back to one of the prophets, to Isaiah chapter 1. And we'll read verse 10. I'll go through a few prophets here. And I want to show you what the prophets preach. Most of you know this, but let's read the specific verses. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and by the way, first of all, I should explain it. He says Sodom and Gomorrah here. He likens Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he says, verse 10, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." And then Isaiah goes on and preaches, apparently for anywhere from 20 to 40 years, depending upon various men who have researched this. But what was his idea? Israel, hear the word of the Lord, and hearken unto the law of God. And then that's what he preached. Jeremiah, the first chapter, the next prophet in the Bible. And we'll read just verses 1 and 2 of Jeremiah 1. "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah." And then he goes on and gives chapter after chapter of what? Of the word of the Lord. This is what the prophet's job, to preach the word of the Lord. All right, the next one, Ezekiel. And I know these men spoke a lot, but you get the idea that these men who came along in the early church were in effect really prophets of God, because they did the same thing that Ezekiel and the rest of these men did, preached the word of God. Ezekiel 1, verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest." Again, what came to him? The word of the Lord. In chapter 2, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God." None of these men received instruction from the Lord to go to Israel and to warn them of the enemy, except as they did it, "Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." This was the only thing they were to preach to Israel, was the word of God. In chapter 3, in verse 4, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." Speak with my word unto them. You know, the truth of the matter is that these men, and this is true of ministers today, have no authority to speak to the house of Israel with anything but the word of God. I have no authority to give the rest of the house of Israel anything but the word of God. And he told Ezekiel expressly, "He speak with my words unto them." Now, these great prophets obeyed. Now, pick out just a couple of the smaller prophets, what they call the minor prophets. Hosea, this comes right after Daniel in your Bible. Hosea 1 and verse 1. "The word of the Lord, that came unto Hosea, the son of Beriah, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and list all the men. The word of the Lord, identifying the thing that Hosea preached to the northern or ten tribe house of Israel as the word of the Lord. Turn to Joel. And these are all rather short prophecies. Joel 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Over and over, I see the same thing. Now, I suppose maybe you think I'm belaboring a point, but turn with me over to Amos, the next one. And these are all minor prophets, as they call them minor prophets. They gave major prophecies, but they're called minor prophets because they're short. Amos 1 and verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the plague. Now these are identified as the words of Amos. What are the words of Amos? Verse 3, thus saith the Lord. Verse 6, thus saith the Lord. Verse 9, thus saith the Lord. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord. What was this man's message to Israel? Thus saith the Lord. And you know, one of the major criticism that I have against the present-day preaching in this land is most ministers have no realization that they're to preach to the civil authorities in Israel, the president and the senators and the governors and the mayors and the local police and civil authority, and that's where these men went in Ezekiel and Isaiah. They went to the princes and the kings and the governors, and what did they go there for? To say, thus saith the Lord. And Brother Snook, I pray the Lord that you may be able to go with myself and perhaps some of the other men in January or February again to go to Washington, D.C. and talk to senators and representatives and tell them, thus saith the Lord. The great political apparatus that has risen up in America that rules over us has had no preaching to it. No one goes to Nixon and says, thus saith the Lord. No one goes to the senators and says, thus saith the Lord, except kingdom identity people who go there because they recognize. The only thing that will turn the nation is the same thing that Paul said would turn the people, and the same thing that Peter converted 3,000 of them with, and that's the word of God. Doesn't make sense to me to go to the house of Israel or the leaders in the house of Israel and tell them, say, do you know the communists have submarines off the coast of California and the coast of Maine? For practical purposes, they all know that. The thing they are ignorant of is, thus saith the Lord. That's the gap in their intelligence. In the second chapter, it starts out, thus saith the Lord. In chapter 3, he starts out, hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel. Now, one of the things that I want you to pray about during this next 30 days, especially, or the rest of this month, is that Pastor Emery, on these radio broadcasts that are going to be heard by so many of these anti-communists, that I can get across to them that God Almighty, in His Word, speaks against the children of Israel. It apparently is the hardest thing for them to understand that God Almighty is punishing America because we refuse to hear and obey His Word. They just won't believe that. They just will not understand that all of these things and this iniquity and these wars and famines and diseases, and brother, sister, some of you are reading in the newspaper of all the new diseases they're finding. Now the doctors have found there's a new disease caused by the taking of drugs, and they don't know what to do about this. In some of the health magazines, they're discovering that there are new strains of the venereal diseases, which will not respond to the chemicals and drugs that they were using to treat the old ones. Why? Because God Almighty is sending pestilence on America. And would to God we could get this across to these people. And Amos said, hear the word of the Lord, that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel. The whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. God is punishing the house of Israel for our iniquities today. And where do I find that? You know, I can't find that written any place in the world except in the Bible. That's the only place. You can go out and read all the books of the professors here at the university and the philosophers and read your newspaper, read magazines, listen to radio, listen to television, and you will never hear a man of the world say God is punishing America for her iniquities. There's only one place I can find that, and that's in the Word of God, and the only way it's going to get to the people so they understand it is by the preaching of the Word of God. You can preach everything else, and you'll never reach back and do it. All right, turn with me over to Acts 19. Again, some more information about what happened in the early church. And I think I mentioned earlier, this was probably in Sunday school class, and perhaps I should mention it again before we read this part of Acts 19. One of the ladies at the Tucson meeting last Thursday night where I spoke was telling me that she gave out Billy James Hargis and McIntyre's literature to help awaken people to the problems that we have in America. She said that this was kind of a foot in the door. And she felt that they had to know how bad the communists were before they would begin to search and search and so on. Well, Billy James Hargis distributes 1,500,000 pieces of literature every month, according to one of his recent newspapers. That's 18 million copies of something or other every year. And how many people has he awakened and gotten to turn to the Word of the Lord? Probably a handful. 18 million pieces of literature a year. Now, we're very pleased when we get out 1,000 pieces a month, you know, here in this ministry. Very pleased that we get out 1,000 pieces of literature a month. In fact, that's only happened during the last month or so. We've never had that many go out in previous months. They have 18 million copies a year of what? Telling them, thus saith the communists, thus saith the liberals. Thus saith the National Council of Churches, and isn't it terrible? But they don't hear, thus saith the Lord. They don't hear that in those 18 million copies. All right, Acts 19, starting in verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, and the word way means that Christian way, that gospel, of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Well, now what did Paul do? He preached the word, and then whether they believed or not, he kept on doing what? Preaching the word. He didn't go to some other gimmick to get their interest. He didn't go to some other thing or some other new thing or some problem about the Roman government or about the Jews or something else. He just separated himself and got a separate house, took his disciples with him, and continued to preach the word. And what happened? And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Some of them didn't believe. Some of them actually fought Paul. But what did he do? He continued to preach the word, and within 2 years, everyone who lived in Asia Minor had heard the word of the Lord. Now, brother and sister, I think that's what we're to do today. We preach the word on radio. We put it in the printed word. We preach it from the pulpit. It goes out in tape. And do you know that most of the people who hear it don't believe it? But Kingdom Israel Identity Ministers are not authorized by God Almighty to turn to any other thing to try to get their ear or try to convince them. They're supposed to do what these men did. Keep on preaching the word, even if you have to get out of the church. You know, he had to leave the synagogue, you notice? He had to get out of the church and go back and get a house and preach it there, and within 2 years, everyone in Asia Minor had heard the word. And I believe that if we could convince all of those among us who preach the word of God, that if we'll do just one thing, preach the word of God, within a very few years, we can say that all of America will hear the word of the Lord, will hear, thus saith the Lord. And they won't hear it if we try anything else. All right, here's another result of this same thing. Some of them didn't believe, some of them opposed Paul, but he kept preaching the word. Here's something else that happened. Verse 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before the men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. You know, brother, sister, if we can just keep ourselves on the track of preaching the word, one of these days, increasing numbers of the American people are going to start getting rid of the terrible things that they're reading today, and I think we're going to have the greatest book burning in this nation that you ever saw. And you know what I mean. Go look at the bookshelves in your dime stores and your department stores. They're not even fit to be up there where people can see the cover even. I don't know what's inside of most of them. It must be worse, I should imagine. And I believe that God Almighty is going to burn those things and destroy them. When? After we keep preaching the word, just like Paul did. This came afterward. Keep preaching the word. And by the way, as I read Acts 18:19-20 here, it doesn't appear like there was any great host of preachers. The number of preachers there in Asia Minor, I still think, was still quite limited. In other words, there weren't 1,000 preachers there. There may have been 10 or 15 or 20. By names, you wouldn't find a score of them in the whole book of Acts. But they preached the word to all of Asia Minor. And then look at verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So, in that manner, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And I know that you good people, and I know that we do in our prayer meetings, in our Bible study class, one of the things that we always pray about is that the word of God will go out to an increasing number of people, and sometimes we don't use the word, but we mean so the word of God will prevail, overcome, become the first thing in everyone's life. And here we find that Paul, because he refused to be diverted from his course of preaching the word, reached all of Asia Minor. People came in apparently by the hundreds and thousands, burned their Antichrist books, and the word of God prevailed in that nation. And I hope and pray that we will be able to follow the same course. Now I want to close with, I think I have three suggestions. Three suggestions that you and I and all of those who are interested in preaching or teaching or expanding or expounding or spreading the Word of God, three things to keep before us as we go on about this ministry. The first one is verbal. Whenever you have an opportunity to witness to someone or spend some time with a friend or a stranger, don't spend your time talking about how terrible things are. Spend your time telling them the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. Tell them who we are, that we're the house of Israel, that Christ died to redeem us, and that this nation and the house of Israel is already saved. We just wait for the passage of time to bring about the full redemption. Don't spend your time on those negative things. Get on the good news, as Paul wrote. Number two, on the written word. Don't spend your money and your time and your effort and your postage sending out the anti-communist material. Let Billy James Hargis and his people take care of that. They're getting out 18 million copies a year. They're doing a fine job on most of it. Let it go. They can take care of it. Our job is to distribute kingdom, identity, thus saith the Lord literature. Things that people will read and turn to the word of the Lord. If you want to give something for Christmas, some of you give gifts for Christmas. Now, we don't follow Christmas to any extent here because we recognize the pagan part of it, but if you do that, Why not give them a copy of the drama of the lost disciples, or tracing our ancestors, or something that will get them turning to the word of the Lord, something that's preaching? And number three, talking about support. The things that you do with your physical time in relation to the church, and the thing that you do with your tithes and offerings. For goodness sake, give it only to ministers who teach and preach and write and expound to Israel, thus saith the Lord. And then I believe we'll be on the track that Paul was on, that Peter was on in Acts 2, that Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joel and all of these other men were on, and then someday we'll be able to say with finality, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Brother, sister, it's a great hope. Let's keep on the track and pray for it. Let's all stand. Our Father and our God, we pray for strength, for thy spirit, to keep this one goal before us. Lord God, thou hast said through thy prophet that Israel was to be a witness for you. We are thy witnesses. And Lord God, help us to understand that to be witnesses, we must use your word, that your word is our method of witnessing to the house of Israel and to the world. And Father, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, give us of his spirit and wisdom, that we may always exhort and tell people of the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.